day, Lord, that we've had, Father, before you, Lord. Just this day of your Spirit, Lord, and your presence being with us, Lord, giving us breath and life and allowing us to be in this world, Lord, but not of it. And Father, just this night, Lord, as we would come together in Jesus' name, Lord, as we would open up your word, as we would seek your presence, Father, and your leading and your guiding. Father, we invite your Holy Spirit that leads and guides us into all truth to be with us, Father, at this time. Lord, to speak, Father, and just to show and reveal your plan and your truth. Lord, we all yield, Father, to your direction. Lord, we seek your plan and purpose, Father. We pray your kingdom come and your will be done. And Lord, we also just use the authority that you've given us, Father, to bind every demonic spirit, every work of the devil, every hindering thought of the enemy that would come our way. And in Jesus' name, we do bind it and cast it out. And Father, we proclaim, Lord, in this place, at this time, Father, the free flow of your Holy Spirit, Lord. We pray that every word that comes forward would be according to your plan and purpose and laced with your Holy Spirit, Lord, to cut through every darkness, Lord God, and every distraction and anything of the enemies, Lord, just so that truth and life and light would go forward. In Jesus' name, Lord, we go on. Amen. Amen. Okay. Tonight. Welcome, Dilver. We'll maybe do a small recap from last time. But we started a series last time, and loose title that we started with was Kingdom Living. Now, see, when we come into the Kingdom of God, we come into it as a people that come under the dominion of the King of Kings. So when people talk about, see, there's all these governments in the world, all of them running all over the place. Last time we started in Daniel chapter 2, and we were talking some about Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel and his whole experiences there and everything that happened, and even in that situation how God puts the smack down on Nebuchadnezzar and just puts him in his place, just to remind him, hey, you think you're something in this world, but just remember that there is something bigger going on than you. And by the way, even your brain functioning is at my behest. So the moment that I choose to just let a few of your neurons, go any which way, you'll lose your mind. So I hold the whole thing together. It's held together by God. So, but when we have the kingdoms in operation in this world, you have all these worldly kingdoms doing all of their different things, and a lot of people distracted by them and in them. And then you have this dominion of the King of Kings that we live under and function under as kingdom people. And so we become a very peculiar people, because though the world that we live in, you know, there's all these nations and peoples and music empires and entertainment empires and fashion and business and economics and religious empires and all these things trying to control souls of men and get people to give their allegiance to it, there's, in the midst of all of this, the wheat that's growing is the God's people that live under the dominion of the King, and they live and move and have their being in Him, and they function in this reality at the same time as you have all the rest of this stuff going on. So now we as kingdom people, because that's who, you know, this is for this, as we go through this evening, this is for kingdom people. This is not for the world. The world will function under a whole different set of principles, a whole different set of just reality of why they do what they do. But for us, as people that are under the dominion of the King, we live differently, we function differently, we think differently, we plan differently, we hope differently, we relate to reality differently. Now, it can get a bit stretching sometimes, because we're constantly being pulled at by the world, and we're surrounded by people that think like the world. So you always have people that will be around you that will, the way that it relates reality is as a worlder. And those thoughts will be constantly bombarding your head. So we have to come at reality from a different place. Okay. Okay, last time we went through Daniel chapter 2, verse 1 through 45, and also Daniel chapter 4, verse 31 through 37. Now during those two, you know, brief overview, because we need to get into the new stuff tonight, but the last one, okay, just go to Daniel chapter 2, and I'll just touch on a couple of small points. Daniel chapter 2. In Daniel chapter 2, this overlays the dream that Nebuchadnezzar has. And God basically shows to a worldly authority and a worldly ruler all of the kingdoms, the worldly kingdoms that would come and happen, and everything that would be entailed and what would happen. And it all has happened, it all is happening. There's a mysterious overlay, because everything that has been done before is being done again. We live in certain kinds of cyclical patterns that seem to come back over and over again. The world repeats itself over and over again. History repeats itself over and over again. So you have this linear progression, but also these cycles that are taking place in life, reality, everything that we experience while we're here. Okay, but one thing that God says in here that I wanted to draw mention to is in verse 44, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Okay, so basically, you can't avoid it, you can't stop it, no matter what you would try to do. All of these kingdoms, all their gold, their silver, their armies, their whatever, is not going to stop the fact that this stone was cut out of the mountain without hands. It break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold. And the great God hath made known to the king. So he made it known. But it breaks in pieces and consumes all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So the kingdom of God trumps everything. That's the point here. The kingdom of God, the people of God, God's children, God's servants, you have a universal wild card at any given time where you trump any situation. In all things he has the authority, all things in him we live and move and have our being, but it's his bat, his ball, the whole situation is under his jurisdiction. So the point being with all of this, that all of these kingdoms with all of their activity, their hustling and their bustling, their trading, their nuclear armaments in the modern day, all of that, whatever it is, at the end, when you go back to even the vision, when the idol is smashed, it's pulverized. And then the wind comes and sweeps it away, and to the point where it's like chaff, there's nothing left. So that is the reality of the situation. When God, at the moment in time, you know, and there will be some moment, you know, within the realities that we experience, when the moment comes where God just says, okay, yeah, I'm going to just put the reset button right now, when he pushes that button, that's it. You know, all those things, all the activity that people have done in the world, all of their becoming celebrities and becoming, you know, rulers of this and controllers of that, just gone. And the only thing that lasts at that point in time is the kingdom of God which grows and fills the whole earth. So now we are kingdom people. Now, here's the part of the challenge that we have. We're living in this world, but we're not of it, but you're still here. And on a day-to-day basis, we have to deal with this reality, with psychotic people, with people that are under demonic allegiance and demonic control, that see the light of God in your life, can't stand it, would love to crush it, put it out, would love to game you, would love to destroy you, would do anything that they can to make your life miserable, because that's about the only way they can inflate themselves for another day. And that's the reality that we're in and around. Now, we're not in this reality as victims. To make that really clear, you and I are not here as victims. Jesus was not a victim at any time in his situation. When he was here in the world, when he even went to the cross, he was not a victim there. Jesus went there by his own accord, of his own free will, willingly putting himself in that situation to pay a price that needed to be paid, that you and I could not pay. At any moment in time, if he wanted out, he could have gotten out, but he chose to stay in that. That's not a victim. None of us are victims in this world that are God's people. We live here, we are in this reality by, when you become a kingdom person, when you are walking under the dominion of the King, we yield our free will to the will of the Father. And wherever it is that we are, we go into those situations deliberately, we go into them on purpose, we go into them with the direction of the Spirit of God. Going into that saying, okay, by God is putting me in this situation. Now it may be a harsh situation, it may be a difficult spot, but you're there on purpose. Does that make sense? So you're there on purpose. You're there with reason, with proper intention, proper motivation. Now, you know, sometimes what happens is people are, again, the conditioning of the world, people look for the result. So they're like, okay, you know, if God wants me to be a professional athlete, the result, oh, well, then that means I want to be, you know, the world number one. If you know, God wants me to be a dancer, then I'm going to be, you know, the best dancer. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, whatever it is, but maybe not necessarily. Maybe God wants you in that reality just for the sake of having you in that reality. Because he wants you there as a witness. He wants you, he may make you just good enough to be in something, but nothing more. You know, sometimes that success will go to your head. Sometimes he's got to break your legs just so that you don't go much further, because you know there's that prayer of Agur in Proverbs 30, where he prays, and he's here, I'll show you this one. It's an interesting prayer here. Yeah, Proverbs 30, where he says, verse 7, two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. So here this guy who's, this is in the Book of Wisdom, basically saying, Lord, in the way of material things, let me have balance. Because he's like, you know, if I don't have enough, then yeah, I might steal. But on the flip side, if I got too much, then, you know, I might lose track of, you know, what's really important in the source and the giver. So, in now how many, where is that in the name it and claim it gospel? You know, where is that just that portion of scripture in the prosperity gospels of the Western church, which is, you know, God wants you bigger, better, now, fast, full. You know, where's balance? You know, where's, do you need a Mercedes? It's just like, it's, and so the point being that for us, when we do something, we do it out of connection with the Father. Whether it be a job, whether it be an activity, whether it's ministering to somebody, whether it's retreating for 2 weeks into the middle of who knows where, and getting away with him. Whatever it is, it's based on something he would instruct us to do. If you eat meat, you do it unto the Lord. If you don't, yep. Chris, entrez s'il vous plaît. Welcome, my friend. Come, have a seat.
Can I join you for just 20 minutes?
Please, 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 please. Welcome. Good to see you, man. Okay.
Okay,
I finished
your words.
Oh, okay. Do you guys know Chris? Chris Darson, the drum machine. I think it's been ages, man. Okay, so we're part two of this series, so we're just...
Okay, all right.
So whatever it is that we do is something that we would do out of connection with him. So it's when... See, what happens in the world, and again, this is the difference between... Jesus said, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways, my thoughts above your thoughts. So we are constantly seeking the mind of Christ. The world focuses on results. The world focuses on outcomes. In fact, how many times in the world is the thinking the ends justifies the means? Let me do something evil in the result, and if I can just get a positive result, then it's okay. How many people are willing to do, let's go back to showbiz, how many people are willing to do so many different things in order to get ahead and to get that result of that perception of whatever it is that they would be in the showbiz world? So, but within the kingdom, what's key is obedience. Obedience to the revealed will of the Father, nothing to do with results. Because, you see, the thing about it too, one man plants, another man waters, God causes it to grow. And you may have people that plant, and that's all they ever did. They may never see that harvest that came from their work until 2-3 generations have come and gone. And then something comes back because of the spiritual residue of what somebody else did. Now, if that work wasn't done in the economy and the plan of God, that would never have happened 2-3 generations after the fact. But who's looking at that from a spiritual perspective? No, people within the world and the system of the world, they want that result today. It's the McDonald's fast food spiritual lifestyle, which is not the kingdom of God. And so we're talking about the difference between the reality that we have as kingdom people versus the way that the world relates. Okay. Okay, last time we were finishing up with John 17, which was John 17, verse 3. Okay. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Okay, so this is eternal life. It's not something waiting to happen. It's not something we anticipate, hoping that just, okay, when I die, will I make it in? How many people live that reality throughout even their life, kind of playing this game of, okay, you know, hoping that they've got enough good karma going so that when this life is over, that they made it in, excuse me, to God's good books? No, it's not. That's nothing about it. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So life eternal, and again, Jesus said, I am. So Jesus is I am. Life, an eternal life, is a relationship and a connection ultimately with the source of life, which we live in right now, moment to moment, ever present here in this moment. So that is the way that we relate to life, and that's also the way that we relate to everything that we do while we're here in this reality. Because see, this reality shifts and changes. When this reality stops, another reality starts. But that connection remains constant. I'll say that again. When this reality stops, another reality starts, but that connection remains constant. See, time in and of itself is an illusion. If the sun and the earth, if we didn't have this thing of the world rotating and spinning on its axis and moving... So time is a concept. And yes, we relate to life because of you know, look, the sun came up, the sun goes down, the moon comes out, there's the moon, there's... Okay, so people get into this idea of this progression. And ultimately, what does that do? Well, it focuses you on something which is coming in the future or what happened in the past, and people never live right in the place where they are right now with the Father, which is where you're called to be, which is where He is. Jesus is, I am. So it's like, I mean, yes, He was, He what was, what is to come is all in Him, but right now, you know, the whole reality is wrapped up in Him. And even when, you know, Genesis, Revelation, all of that stuff is written, it's just part of the reason it's written so that you realize, hey, there's no surprises for Him. He's already figured out everything that's going to possibly ever come into this reality. It's already there. The hairs on your head are already numbered. So what are you stressing about? So when people are in this situation, what ends up happening is, see, there is an objective of the world and the world system that we have to be aware of. Because the world will be, again, anti-Christ, but anti-system of God. Anti-kingdom of God. So it'll be the antithesis. So when God is saying relax, the world will say be stressed. When God is saying you know, trust me, the world will say no, trust this over here. You see, so it's like, so then if you start realizing, wait, there's a methodology to what the world is doing, then you can say, well, why is it trying to do that, and what's the counter for that? You can apply that to a lot of stuff. For example, Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, 20 through 21, that the kingdom of God is within. Right? So when they're here, let's go there really quick. I'm jumping a little bit ahead, but Luke chapter 17, little brother Luke 17. Okay. Luke 17:20 says, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them, 'The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo here or Lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you.'" So now this kingdom, that the rock that came, smashed the idol, grew, filled the whole earth, the thing that will stand, that will never be destroyed, that's never handed off to anybody else, that Jesus Christ rules and reigns, is within you. So now, if the kingdom of God is within, doesn't it make sense that everything in the world would be working to keep you without? Everything in the world and the world system would be working to keep you without. To get your mind, to get your heart, to get your affections, to get every aspect of you without and away and detached from that which is within in Christ Jesus. So, what you're going to end up with is to switch on your TV. Oh, look, bad news. North Korea's got this bomb, and this country's in this riot, and here's your economic turmoil, and here's your... I'm sorry, where's the promises of God? When Jesus said in Matthew 6, "Seek first the kingdom, which is within, and I'll take care of your needs, I got those covered," where's that promise now in the face of adversity? See, this is where trust happens. This is where faith, because faith and trust is the same thing. You trust God because you've been walking with Him and you've seen Him faithful before. And because you've seen Him faithful before, that carries on now into today's experience. Because like David, you first had the bear and then you had the lion, and now you've seen Goliath, and you know it's the same deal over again. Just, you know, new, same song, new verse. It's like, it's the same melody, it's the same thing. You know God's got this one wrapped up too. But what happens is the world will continue to up the ante, up the scale, try to get you caught without. So, and it, so many different ways. Relationships is a big one. Work is another one. I mean, these are just common life things. And you have to learn mastery of these situations so that you can keep them in their proper place. See, God allows us to be able to experience these things, but in the midst of experiencing them, you also need to keep that connection within and say, Lord, how do I go through this? How do I diminish this into its proper place? How do I diminish this circumstance and this situation into its proper place in respect to your kingdom? So, for example, a situation comes up. Here, Goliath comes up. Okay, fine. Goliath, David, situation comes up. Goliath comes up, throws out his challenge. David comes into that situation as a kingdom man, and as a kingdom man coming into that situation, he diminishes that situation to a kingdom perspective so that his response and his reality is based on a kingdom mindset, which comes from the Father. And what's the result? That's God's result. So we are also in that same situation. Now, do keep in mind the context of the world that we're living in right now. Because the world that we're living in right now is melting down. Because, again, and back to what was told to Nebuchadnezzar. Hey, all those kingdoms get crushed into chaff and swept away. You're seeing it. You're seeing the cracks in the system. You're seeing the stuff. So as kingdom people, it's not a surprise. In fact, why would we even be worried about it? In fact, it's a fulfillment of something we would be praying, Lord, your kingdom come. Because the kingdom that you're part of is the one that actually lasts, is actually still here after all this is said and done. So when people are stressing out, when people are worried, when they're perplexed about all these things, I'm wondering which foot their kingdom is in. Or maybe they try to have one foot in each place and it's not going to happen. So we as kingdom people, we are aware, but we're not distracted. And there's a difference. Here, I printed this up because I kind of got a kick out of this. I remembered this actually. Okay, this is the title and I didn't get the picture of the book. This one says, 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Be in 1988. The Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, September 11, 12, 13 pamphlet by Wiesenert Edgar C. Author. And I actually had a review, and so I clicked on the review, and the review was by this guy in Texas, and he said, I was one of the, in brackets, idiots, close brackets, that bought this book back in 1988. At the moment, there is one seller for $50. I kind of like to have it for posterity, though I might want to find it for cheaper. Okay. Now, yes, things are going on. Yes, the world is having problems. Yes, there's issues that are happening. And since I can remember in, you know, my close proximity to whatever situations and world events, there's persistently been the rapture is like 3 years away, 2 years away, 3 years away. The Antichrist is whoever the current president is in America, or the head of the European Union, or the head of the World Bank, or the United Nations Secretary General, or the Pope, or the current Pope, or, and there's always been, and now here, blanket statement. There is a spirit of Antichrist out there. Yes, very much so. And there's a spirit of Antichrist where if you want to be a success and within the hierarchy of the world system, you get to that place within the world and the world system by bowing your knee to that system and opening yourself up for demonic activity and fulfillment and, you know, being animated even by that spirit, because that's when it'll promote you in that system. The same way when Jesus in Luke chapter 4 is, Satan says, look, I'll give you all the kingdoms. You can have them all. Just bow your knee and basically take your position, which would be, you know, one notch below mine, and I'll give you rulership and lordship over all of this. So now Jesus, of course, is just like, look, you know, first of all, you can go back to Psalm 24 and realize the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So he owns the whole thing. In one way, that was a test to see if Jesus even realized who he was in the scope of everything. So Jesus doesn't fall for the lie, and also, you know, he's like, get thee behind me, Satan, and says, it is written, again, response from the word, response from within, thou shalt serve the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. Boom, everything's said and done. But how many people in the world have bowed their knee to the world and the world system for much, 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 much less, just to be, have some position, some spot, so they're just, for a ridiculously cheap price, like to be the head of some $200 million corporation or a $1 billion corporation, so they sold their soul for so cheap for this limited little span of lifetime here. But and when they do that, they now get animated by the spirit of Antichrist and whatever little demons that come along with it. And then they play their role and their part in that system. The same way that kingdom people in connection with the Spirit of God are led by the Spirit of God under His direction, under His lordship. I'm possessed by a spirit. I am completely possessed and owned and controlled by the Spirit of God. So He leads, directs, I yield to that. The same way that I'm yielded to the Spirit of God, they yield themselves to the work of the enemy. Now, the reason that I bring this little example here about this book from, you know, 1988, and today it's like, you know, we laugh and just think, oh yeah, okay, it didn't happen. But because the point being that, okay, if you lived during Hitler's time, you would have thought, this has got to be it. If you lived during different times and periods throughout history, guaranteed you'd be thinking, this has got to be it, this has got to... And what does it do? Now, whether it's it or not, that's not the point. Whether it's it or not, that's not the point. The point is, what does that information do? Does that information draw you within to connect with Creator and to be in a place of right and strong connection with Him, or does that force you by your own situation and your own panic about it to then start getting drawn without and wrapped up into all kinds of things that, again, back to something that was before and something that will be in the future, and sapped out of right here where the kingdom of God is right now, within, with I am. Do you see? Do you see how this, and then this here, stuff like this, it's a very, very fine line. A very fine line between that being then used as a fear tactic to get you to do all kinds of things. I know back to the year 2000, when Y2K was about to happen in the States, and how many people in that country were really freaked out. And people sold their houses, moved out to the country, they were buying up all kinds of food and storing stuff in the basements. And sure, it's good to have some natural preparation for whatever situation. You don't know what might happen. But people were doing things out of fear and not out of direction that came from the Spirit of God. We don't respond out of fear. If you do stuff out of fear, you're functioning from a place outside of that kingdom mindset that God gives His people. God's not given you the spirit of fear, but of love, joy, and a sound mind. So we don't operate the way the world is. Here's another thing too. We don't operate in time. The world operates in time. The world operates on a timeline. Kingdom of God people, we don't operate in time. We become timeless beings. The way that we relate to this reality, because frankly, when you stepped into Christ Jesus, you died to this world. And you died to the reality of time in this world. Now, yes, you have an earth suit body that you walk around in this place in, that allows you to function in this reality, but the true you is eternal. And the true you is not bound by time. So when we function in this reality, we don't function under the controls or the parameters of time. You and I can step in and out of the dimension of time any time as such. So we can step into eternity and back out just like that. Whenever you connect up with Him and you go into prayer even, you get a sense of that. And there's times even on God's behest where He will show you more, peel back certain layers of that, and you'll see more. And then it's like in those situations, it's like, whoa. Where in that reality, if you were to stay there, this reality here would cease to exist anymore. You would just stay there. But God has purpose for us still being here. That's an important point too. If God's purpose for us to be here was finished, we would be gone. Because, well, one, the world would not let you stay here for a second longer if it could get to you. If it could kill you, if it could snuff you out, it would have done that a long time ago. We continue to exist here because God protects us amidst this whole thing. But when God draws us home, when He brings us home, it's because His plan and purpose is finished. Just like Jesus, when He was on the cross, He's like, it is finished. That work that God had for Him here was done. Likewise with Paul, when Paul said, look, I've fought the good fight, I've run the race, I did what I was supposed to do. You know that. People of God that walk with Him, when you walk with Him, God connects you up to also His plan, His purpose, your reason for being here. And when that comes to a conclusion, when that comes to a fruition, you also know in your spirit, you know what, I've completed that which God had for me to do here. You know, so many times I've seen speeches, sermons, if you would, whatever it is, of people that walked with God before it was time for them to die. And how many times where God would reveal to them, even, look, things are wrapping up for you. You're about ready to go. This is, and they would know it, and they would have that assurance for themselves that that was it, that was the time. Okay, so for us, one thing about all of the events, signs, things that are going on right now in the world, and there will be more. There will be so much more happening right now, guaranteed. You will see nations colliding against nations. You're going to see the earth convulsing because of all the things that the earth is alive to, and so everything that's happening on the earth and to the earth is, you know, it's going to be reacting to everything else. And then with all of the arms and nukes and all of these things, you're going to see some tremendous things taking place in the days ahead. In fact, the scriptures even talk about how the hearts of men will fail them because of what they see coming on the earth. So you're going to see those things happening. And in those times, what will your response be? In those times, where will your faith be? In those times, where will your heart and your mind be? See, the world is working very hard to do what it can, to block the light, block people's ability to see. Hey, welcome. Come. Okay. Okay. Hey, good to see you, Chris. Okay, sounds good. See you, man. Cheers.
Hey.
Okay. Okay. So, as kingdom people, how do we live? Well, one, we live in connection. Another one is that we're committed. See, in Matthew chapter 8, or actually Mark chapter 8. Mark 8. I know I put Matthew there, but I'm sure it's Mark. Yeah. In Mark chapter 8, verse 34, it says, when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words, and in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Okay, that's not referring to email forwards. Forward this to 20 people or you're ashamed. No, it's not referring to that. In fact, I hate it when people send me things like that. There's a rule I just don't like forwarding stuff like that. That's again another form of control and manipulation. Yeah, that's nice. Good
job.
No. In fact, that's the religious system of the world is very much like that. They will pick and choose something, not even understanding what it means, and then use that as a means of manipulation and control to get you to do something. Whatever it is, jump up three times, say this Hail Mary, whatever, jump or turn, give all your money here, take all your money there, dedicate your kids, it's whatever, gets you to do something. Whereas God would rather have you be something. And that's a work of His Spirit. And you won't be able to quantify that. You won't be able to control that. You won't be able to get a commission off of that. And it's a work of His Spirit, as He wills, as He plans, as He purposes. But in verse 34, one thing for anyone that's coming after Him, we take up the cross, deny yourself, which basically means His way, not mine, every day. And we just go after Him. So we live in that place of commitment. And that commitment is, you're on your way to die. And you've basically, what it is you've given up what you would hope for out of this life and in this world. So you give up that. You die to that. And then whatever it is that you receive from Him is an extension of the new life you now have in Him. And it's more than enough. So it can be anything. It doesn't matter. See, that's when you are stepping into like an army, you go through boot camp and but you're assigned certain duties and responsibilities within that, not based on necessarily your personal preference, but what it is, it's the need for that army at the time. So likewise in the kingdom of God, because we're also part of the army of God, God knows what He has need of, and He needs people that are willing to take up the assignment that He has for them, that are willing to take off their own self-importance and their own personal ambitions and dreams and hopes and aspirations and all of those things, and say, Lord, what would You have? And whatever that is, I'm game, I'm open, just show me and I'll go with it. But see, too often people have made themselves so important in their own eyes And they forget that this is not about you. It's not about me. It's about him. In fact, even what the devil and the enemies of God do, that's not even about you. Their desire to destroy you is not about you, it's about God. They would destroy you as a means to try to spite God, because they can't get to God. But you're made in the image and likeness of God, so if they can get you to fall for the lie and destroy you, that's about the best they can do to try to get at God. So it's like having a 350-pound wrestler who's just cars full of ammo or whatever is like that, and he's got a 12-gauge shotgun behind his head, and it's like they can't get to that guy, but there's his 12-year-old son walking to school. You're the 12-year-old son. So it's like they and the devil's not about anything about fair. You got to realize that. But it's not about you. So realizing that that's the situation that you're in, but also the flip side of that is that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You're made in the image and likeness of God. God's created you with free will. And there's the empowering of His Spirit that comes upon and flows through, that 12-year-old can be the strongest thing that's walked the block ever. I mean, there's amazing mysteries on both sides of this thing. We have to fall in line with what He's doing. See, the key for success as such in this life is getting in connection and then getting in step with what God is doing. You want to know what He's doing. What's God doing right now? What's God about right now? Okay, everybody's worried about what's going on in the world. What's the president saying? What's this country's president saying? What's this country doing? What's this economy doing? Who's asking what's God saying? Who's asking what is God doing right now? Where is the Spirit of God right now? Where is God leading His people right now? What is God's intention in this place right now, with this people right now? What's He saying? Because, for example, back to this whole thing about survivalists and all of that, and people are saying, oh, let me try to save my life because I think some tough times are going to come up. Okay, so they go buy a bunch of food, they go buy this, they go buy that, they get some shotguns, they do all these things. And in 4 months, what God would have told you is, hey, just all I want you to do is buy a bus ticket and go over here, because there's about to be a flood in that spot that's going to take out everything. You missed what God was saying. So you have to be open. So we live our life also in a place of openness. And that kind of goes into this thing of like a child. Now, a child trusts. See, we live in a place of complete and total trust in our Creator, in our Father, in our Savior. Mark chapter 10, just flip forward one. Mark chapter 10 and verse 14 says, "But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and he said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." So when we enter into the kingdom of God, we enter in out of a place of, well, one, absolute trust, because it's like, well, I can't do this. I never could. I have no power. I have no power in and of myself. Every resource I have is limited. It can be depleted just like that. The very breath I have in my lungs is on loan from God. So, Lord, I'm game. I got nowhere else to go but you. And you live your life out of that trust, out of that intimacy, out of that openness for whatever it is that He's doing. So we look to Him like that. We open ourselves up like that. There's no limitation placed on Him. Just like a child places no limitation on what his parents can and can't do. You get older and people start doing that because they, you know, get disillusioned by what life is to grow up. But as a child, you have implicit faith. If your father says, I'm going to go get the moon tomorrow and I'm going to bring it down here for you, you believe him. You know, if your dad, your mom says, you know, it's, you would. Because like that, we believe our Father. We believe our Heavenly Father. So, and something too that, you know, kind of like we pointed out last time a little bit was, you notice how kingdom people, like true kingdom people, they're very childlike. Yeah. Not immature, but childlike. You know, there's this thing about them where there's an innocence about them. You know, and whereas you can have worldly people, you can have somebody that's 15, it's just like there's, but yet, you know, there is no innocence, there's nothing childlike about it. They're just like, they're just worlders to the core. Whereas you can have somebody that is, you know, 80, that's a kingdom person, and there's just something beautiful and sweet and innocent and childlike about that person. That's a kingdom person. So, but we trust Him. We trust Him completely. And out of that complete trust, that's how we walk through life. So whenever you go into something, see, and another thing too is a child in a relationship with a good father, you believe that your father has the best for you. And surely He will do that. So for us, when we trust our Father, we trust Him that we know that whatever it is that He calls us into, whatever it is that He sends us into, that it really is the best. Even if it may not seem like that, even if it may not feel like that, we know that we have a good Father. And we never doubt that, no matter what the situation is that we face. So that goes to Jesus on the cross, that goes to Paul and Silas in jail in Acts 15:16, that goes to all of the apostles that were martyred, that goes through all of these different situations that people have faced because they know their Father and they don't see things from the worldly mindset and the worldly expectations. They've given up their life and then they've learned what abundant life really is. And it's a mystery. And the mystery also is revealed in the dying to self. See, we have to die to self. You have to die to your expectation and your hope for anything in this world in order to receive what it is that God has for you. And it doesn't come any other way. So it's something that you should ask for. It's something that you should seek after rather than running away from that. See, the world runs away from that, whereas the people of God actually embrace that when it comes to them. And it's hard, and it's bitter, and it's called the dark night of the soul, but when you've had that, you are so grateful because the end result is, it's like, huh, okay, I got it. Okay. Mark chapter 10 and verse 24, since we're already there, one other thing too is that it says that, and the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and said unto them, children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. Again, back to that thing about Agur, Proverbs 30. I'm butchering the poor guy's name. Anyways, but people that put their trust, see, the world and the world system is run on money. Now money's a tool, but it's a terrible master. And people that put their trust in riches it's, you can't. So people that are kingdom people, see, we allow the Spirit of God to give us wisdom in how to handle the resources that God's put in our care. But we put no trust in them, because we realize where our source comes from. We realize where our provision comes from. And in fact, you know, when people talk about this mark, the mark of the beast as such, or whatever, well, whenever I read that, one thing I do see is that these are people, whoever take that, are people that give their allegiance and their trust to the world and the world system to be able to provide and take care of them. And in doing so, they turn their back on the kingdom of God and their creator, and the one that promised he'd take care of them if they sought him first. So they blaspheme and turn their back on him. And they do something in the natural to validate a spiritual decision and a spiritual position that they've chosen. And they seal it. So we are people that put our trust in him. So whatever situation you're in, now we can do that. Now see, here's what happens too. God allows us to go into situations that then test that choice. So when we say, Lord, I trust you, then he'll allow you to go into situations that will test that trust. Will reveal, do you really, or do you trust him 90% and you've still got 10 that you're holding on to? You see what I'm saying? It's like he will allow the circumstances of life to come. He allowed the Job situation, where Job, in an instant, everything was gone. In the next instant, his health is gone. And in that situation, the test being, did you trust God for the benefits? Or did you trust God because you trusted him and you were walking with him? And that was what it was about, period. And everybody was trying to come up with some logic behind Job's thing. And he's like, well, wait a second. You know, this is about God. It's not about Job. Now, it tested Job. It revealed some things, but there's more going on there. That's given there also as an encouragement and an admonition for us, that no matter what the circumstance and the situation, we've none of us have been tested the way that Jesus was tested. And he overcame. So we overcome because we're yielded to him. We make it through because he's leading and guiding us through this, and we walk in connection with the Spirit. Okay. But we don't live in an attachment to material possessions or a trust in the world and the world system to provide. We trust the one that does provide for us, and that's our King, according to his promise. Alright. We live as those who have been set free. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 and verse 60. Jesus said unto them, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Okay. For the world will continue to take care and labor to handle its own thing. You don't have to anymore. There is no expectation on you when you've been set free by the kingdom of God, by the King. There's no expectation. You don't owe a debt to the world anymore. See, that's the cool thing. When Jesus Christ paid the price on the cross, you no longer owe a spiritual debt to this world slavery system. You don't owe him anymore, because he paid that. So because he's paid that, you're now free to walk with him into anything. So you don't have a family obligation. You don't have a cultural obligation. You don't have a spiritual allegiance to anything or anyone except him. Because he paid for you. So when you receive that, you've been set free from all of those things. So you let those go. Sometimes easier said than done. But he will take you through that. Because ultimately his desire for you and for me is that we live free. He wants you to live free. But it's not a carelessness, it's a freedom to walk with him. Okay. And then one we've kind of mentioned was we live from within. So we live from that connection to the kingdom of God that's within you, Luke chapters 17, 20 through 21. And you don't live from without or your external circumstances. See, if you get caught up in the externals and you let your life be dictated by the externals, you then start getting off on another track, on a different tangent that's not the kingdom of God. See, when people in the world, when they are functioning, they're functioning based on the external illusion reality and making eternal choices based on an illusion. A lot of times those things are fabricated. Here, let me give you an example. If you create a situation and then offer people the solution, and if you can just control people's minds to that end, you can get them to do all kinds of crazy stuff. So for example, if I say, here, okay, I got a bottle of water. Oh my gosh, I heard that tonight they're cutting off the water for the entire city, and it's going to be off for an entire week. And if I can get some way if I can get some way for you to believe that that's credible, you may not even stay for the end of this thing. You may go run home and turn on your bathtub and leave that filled and do whatever you can to try. So you will, now if I can create one, the perception of the problem, and two, if I can offer you this perceived solution, I've got you controlled. Enter in mass media, enter in mind control, enter in the world system that's been so fine-tuned to control populations like you would not believe. Now, right there, this water all of a sudden became so much more valuable. And now if I can control your perception of reality in just the little world you live in for a little while, I can get you to do all kinds of crazy things. So a certain ethnic group is now your enemy, or a certain religion is now the problem, or all religions are the problem. Anything that keeps you from God is the problem. So what? It still doesn't stop me. It's not my problem. Nothing limits me from, because Jesus already cut through all of that. Nothing limits me. But you see how somebody controlling you by an external perception, all of a sudden now if you start responding out of that external fear and external stimulus, you now get caught up in the frenzy. No. Whatever situation that you're in, if somebody's giving you information, take that information back to the Father and say, Lord, what do I do with this? Okay, the water's going to be cut off at midnight for an entire week for the city. That's what I was told. I don't know. What do I do? Just show me. And you stay there while everybody's running around freaked out. You stay there until he shows you. That's what Elijah did. He was at the brook. And it stopped flowing. And God then told him, okay, I want you to go here. We respond based on a kingdom response led by the Spirit of God, and not out of a natural mindset that's hardwired to save your life in this world. Water tastes good, doesn't it? Yeah. Because your flesh is hardwired to want to save itself. It's coded into your DNA. So you, if you live by the Spirit, you've got something stronger in you than the programming of your flesh. And when you live according to the Spirit, you won't gratify the desires of the flesh. When you live according to the Spirit, you've got something stronger at work in you that enables you to make decisions based on the will of God and the Spirit of God leading you, not based on your perception dictated to you by an external reality that's seeking to control you. Now, I'll give you a little in the world, for example, of mass media and advertising, advertising is a means of control. It is. Advertising is a means of... this is a little... used to be a Coke bottle. What's Coca-Cola? It's just carbonated sugar water. Why is this worth a dollar? Or 100 rupees? The value of what's actually in there, the water came up out of the ground, the sugar was harvested somewhere, and actual, even real value, it's probably less than a penny. The bottle is worth far more than the Coke that was inside. Why is that a dollar? And then how do you get programmed to think that you need to buy this? Now take that perception and then overlay that with how many different things you're told about life, about the way you should relate to life, about how you should look, how you should think, what you should dream. What are you going to be when you grow up? I remember I was invited to a guy's house recently. And here's this little boy running around. The boy's not but 4 years old, and the dad's like, "So, what do you want to be when you grow up?" Kid's four. It's like, tell them what you want to be with. I want to be as kid's four. That perception that is put into the head of that child. I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up. I'll never know what I want to be when I grow up. So, anyways. Okay, you guys can have fun with that. Fine. It's true. I know. Okay. And one more. As Kingdom of God people, we live in righteousness, we live in peace, and in joy in the Holy Spirit, and in power. I'll give you a couple of scriptures of that. Romans 14:17, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. So we were free because of the work of the Spirit of God to live holy and unshackled lives. See, holiness is not abide. Holiness is actually liberty. The world would tell you again, lie to you, and give you the reverse, and say, "Oh, look at this freedom that I have from this illicit lifestyle." Talk to some people before you engage. You know, or reflect on your own life experiences. You happy with that? No, I don't think so. So, it's like, why? Because the world is seeking to enslave you. But what God does is when He puts His Spirit in you, and He quickens your spirit, quickens your mortal body, and you yield to the direction of the Spirit of God, what happens is now you've got the power, if you would just walk it out, to walk in right standing with Him, to live in a place where your mind is at peace, because now you're not controlled by whatever external stimulus is coming your way, but you're controlled by the leading of the Spirit of God, which brings peace. And those other things that used to hold you just kind of sort of start melting off of you, because they don't have a grip on you anymore. Old habits start dying, old things just start going away, because you're walking a new life. And you're like, I just don't need that anymore. And there's a joy that comes from walking in the Holy Spirit. Yeah, you'll be tested, but it's okay. Even the tests that come, God uses those to make you something more, make you stronger. And we live in power. You know, the people of God are very powerful. They're incredibly powerful. If you could see your soul just in the realm of spirit, for one that's a person of the kingdom of God, it's brighter than a billion suns. But you're cloaked in this mortal body for a small season of time. Jesus for a moment, they just got a glimpse of him in his glorified state. It's just like, it's brighter than anything they could ever talk about or compare it to. So, let's see. Okay. So as kingdom people, we live a certain way, and we live differently than the way the world lives. We think differently than the way the world thinks. We step into that reality. As you step into it, you have to hold on to it, grasp it, walk with him. And it's something that happens on, it may not be the easiest thing because you'll be tested on it all the time, but it's simple. And it's simple because God made it simple. And it's simple in that all you have to do is bow your knee before him and say, Lord, you lead me, you guide me, you show me, and I'll go with that. So that's what that prayer is when we say, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. You're praying for that, and you're asking for that. And time is up for today, so we will stop there. Bless.